time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yeah, Muhammad is not in this week again. It is just you and I, one-on-one. We back. We're going to have another little chat. We're going to chop it up. I hope y'all are good. You good? Okay. Get out of here. What? That's crazy. All right. That was our little back and forth, but I'm chilling. Thanks for asking. I'm chilling, man. Another week in the books. Getting into the, we getting into the dregs of 2025. We about to be up out of here in a minute. We in the backwash of 2025. You know, we gotta shake the bottle a little bit, see if there's still some left. Yeah, we there. Thanksgiving right around the corner, Christmas, New Year, and in a new year. So I hope it's been going well for you. I hope you're having a good time. I hope hope you're in good spirits. Cause this time of the year, this is where spirits intensify and energy intensifies. A lot of anxiety around this time, whether it's financial or it's a lot of, you know, family gatherings and things of that nature where you're getting together with family that you probably ain't seen in a while and you don't know what the energy is like and why you ain't been in touch? All of that, you know what I mean? And you know. It's not that you got beef, but it's just, you know, y'all don't always kick it on the same wavelength. You know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with that. But we in that time. We in that time. I forget what they call this. I've seen it. Let's circle back. Let's circle back after the holiday season is approaching, for sure. For sure. That's when you don't hear from somebody until damn near Black History Month. You know, they could drag it, you know, go all the way through. Get hit back from an email you sent in November right around Kwanzaa. Oh, no, Kwanzaa's actually in December. I'm tripping. I'm grouping it with the Black history of it all now. You're right. Kwanzaa is right after, was it right after Christmas? When does it start? 26th? Does it start on the 26th? I don't know, but you know, Kuji Chakalia to you all. What's going on? Off the rip, I want to thank everybody that came out to Comedy in Harlem for the New York Comedy Festival show, Damian Lemon and Friends. You know, it's good to see the people in the building, people that came through, you know what I mean? You know, shouts to my cousin in the building, shouts to Dr. Gathers, shouts to my man Mike, BB and CC Winans, Pastor Pele, you know, it was a nice little crowd in there. It was cool. Good people. What else? Shout out to Nikki Sunshine for holding it down, hosting. Soph's Dope got busy. Brian Isley. It was a good time. It was a good time. Have fun. Yeah, man. Happy to do a New York Comedy Festival event at Comedy in Harlem, a Black-owned comedy club. It felt good. It was a good moment. Nice little Friday. So we did that. What else is going on? I've been kind of, I don't say chilling. I mean, that's the same old, to be totally honest with you. This is when I do these, when I get on this mic, I often got to audit my life. Like, well, what did I do? And some things slip through the cracks. Y'all know that. Some things slip through the cracks. But I'm in the crib earlier today trying to clean up this apartment, doing a lot of decluttering. You know, I don't want to fully lean into the hoarder lifestyle, but I definitely keep a lot of shit longer than I should, and then wind up getting sentimental about it, like sentimental about the silliest shit, you know. Like, I mean, ridiculous. What did I throw out earlier today? And I was like, yo, why am I bugging? I had a paper bag, and I was like drawing on the paper bag This has been for a couple months. I had this paper bag. I started drawing on it a few months ago, thinking I was going to do some art. Do some art with it. You know what I mean? And I'm not even one of these people that do art. I might tag and do a throw up. That's what it was. It was a series of throw ups and tags on it. And I was going to do some fill-ins and probably, you know, color it so it looked fly. But it was at the end of the day, it was a paper bag that I got from just being outside somewhere. And, you know, I had my throw ups and I've been meaning to fill it in. But I had this bag sitting on this desk for at least 3-4 months, probably even longer than that. And in the midst of just cleaning it up, I just ripped it. I didn't even process that. It was my art piece. You know what I mean? I didn't process that. I just ripped this canvas. And I was like, dude, what the fuck? What are you really doing right now? You know what I mean? Like, you holding on to some of the... It's ridiculous. I'm holding on. I got old newspapers. You know, when I go downtown sometimes, I'll see they got the little AM newspapers on the train or whatever. The little free newspaper. You just grab it just because it's, I guess, gift with purchase. You know what I mean? So let me pick this up. I barely have a thumb through it. So next thing you know, I got a bunch of them in the crib. There's this library I go to. They do these zines. I got those. Then it's grocery store circulars. Then it's a gang of pens. I got more pens. I don't know what I'm going to do with all these pens. Like, I'm looking at all the pens on my desk right now. I don't even write. I write, but I don't write that much. Like, nigga, there's not a pen shortage in the world. You'll be all right. Like, I'm stockpiling pens. Like, literally, I'm looking on my desk between pens and pencils. Just on the desk right now, I'm looking at damn near 60. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. So I got a ways to go. I got a lot of shit to throw out and just throw it out. Just throw it out. Get my condo on, you know, just throw that shit and get out of there. Because as soon as it's gone, I don't even remember it. I don't even think about it no more. But in the moment, just the action of putting it in the trash and disposing of the trash could table it. And we'll talk a bit about tabling later on in this pod too. But I was like, let me declutter a little bit. Let me clean up some of this shit. Put together a little playlist, some old school joints. You know, I don't know if that's I don't even like to use the term psyop because I feel like that's very internet shit. But I don't know if this has always been a thing. You know, the thing about the internet sometimes is it could kind of try to turn everything into like monoculture, right? But like hyper monoculture in the way of all black people do this. You know what I mean? If you black and you do this, or if you from New York, you do this, or if you went to a black college, you do this, or, you know, if you were, you know, and sometimes it's legitimate, or sometimes, you know, you might wind up in that Venn diagram of all, and you do, you know, all of that, but I definitely put on some old school ass music to clean up, you know, and I don't know where I first seen that observation. But yeah, for sure, when my mom's back in the days would clean the house, she would definitely, I don't even know if it was old school music, but Anita Baker. A lot of people attribute Anita Baker to cleaning your house. And Anita Baker wasn't old school back then. She was contemporary. But yeah, I don't know what it is about her voice. But I put on, not Anita Baker this time, I put on some, a lot of like, I don't even know if it's New Jack Swing because it's slow. You know, it's like Keith Sweat, you know what I'm saying? Right in the Wrong Way. You know, he got New Jack Swing records, but this is just old school, early 90s, late 80s R&B. You know, I'm cleaning up to shit like that. What else was I listening to on the joint? I had some cement conditions. Sometimes I just throw shit into like a little makeshift for the moment type of playlist. I just go off of what I want to hear, things that I haven't heard in a while, blah blah blah. I had some Patti LaBelle on there, some De La, I'm looking forward to that new Daylight album. I like the, what's it called, Cabin in the Sky? I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to talk about that in a second, but I'm definitely looking forward to that. Some Mos Def, Mint Condition, Cruise Pop by the Youngsters. That beat is so crazy. But anyway, I had a lot of that shit on, but I was playing Right and Wrong Way particularly, right? And this is, it take me back to, like, that time, like, you know, early 90s, late 80s, being outside, being young, being around the way. And what I thought about, maybe I haven't been paying attention, or I don't see it, or it's a casualty of gentrification, whatever. But, like, whatever happened to, like, to the booming system? You know what I mean? I'm using that as a genre because it's not always just hip hop. But whatever happened to the cats that would drive through blasting R&B in the whip? You know what I mean? Like, just it's coming through smooth playing. Because some of these records, I heard them on the radio for sure. Might have heard them maybe at a block party for sure. But I just feel like people used to drive by playing the joints that they liked loud as fuck coming out, like, out of their car stereo, you know? And I don't know if culturally that played out, because I do remember many, many, many years ago, my homegirl Rhea, she's from L.A. My homegirl Rhea was mad. She was funny. She was like, yo, them old dudes playing that R&B, blasting it out their car. Nah, they corny. They creepy as shit. And I was like, oh, damn. You know, I could get it. I guess so. But, you know, look, man, I think there's certain, everything ain't for everybody. And there are certain characters that build a neighborhood. And I was like, yo, where are these people? You know, I mean, there's certain exceptions. I will say that, you know, the Dominicans and the Puerto Ricans, they keep that shit alive. They blasting bachata and fucking merengue so loud it sound like they got a whole orchestra on a trailer. But I can't even do nothing, but you know the shit be hitting like crazy. The shit is loud as fuck. Like, it feels like it's the motherfuckers literally playing. That shit crazy. And then old black men that drive Polarises. You know them little Polaris slingshot situations? They probably the only cast that's keeping it. They keeping it alive. You know what I'm saying? It's keeping it alive. I know the, not too long ago, I was driving to a show, and it was one of those nights where it wasn't cold and it really wasn't hot. So it wasn't no real need to have the AC on. So I rolled the window down. And, you know, I'm just listening to, I put together a little playlist. But I got, like, Big Pimpin' playing. It was on the joint. I rolled down the window. I got Big Pimpin'. I don't know if it was blasting, but it was loud enough. It was, you know. And I had the shit. And I'm going down Broadway. I'm on my way to probably New York. Comedy Club or something, the East Village joint. I'm going down Broadway, and it was a little stop and go, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't even like I'm catching lights and I'm just moving. So it's different when you in the car going slow and you just got Big Pimpin' blaring out the shit 20 years later. I was like, this might be the cringe mobile, but fuck it, we riding. And then it was what it was. But I just had that thought as I was cleaning up. Let me know. Jump in the comments. Let me know, one, am I bugging? Or is that kind of disappeared from the culture? Or do you see it? Or even better, are you somebody that doesn't? Man or woman, are you somebody that sometimes you roll them windows down and you let that shit, you know what I mean? You let these motherfuckers hear that taste. You know what I'm saying? Listen, this is that shit. This is my shit. You know, this is, you know what I mean? That was the, yeah, that is the shit. This my shit. This my song. Where's that energy at? Do people still say that? That's when you know you get older, when you start saying, do people still? Because I still be outside, I guess. But, I mean, I'm outside in a different age demo, you know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a man of a certain age. You know what I mean? An aged man, maybe. But, yeah, I'm just curious if the people are saying that. Yeah, but speaking of, since we talking about music in this moment, I said we, like, you know what I mean. It's us, but I'm the one talking. Like I said, I'm looking forward to this De La Soul album, Cabin in the Sky. That's dropping on Friday. I'm excited about it. I like that record that they did, the package, the Pete Rock joint. That shit crazy. And I like some of the bars on there. Like, you know, real fans know, particularly Pos, but both of them, they get busy. You know, both of the remaining members. You know what I'm saying? You know, rest in peace to Dave. But, you know, like, I forget what the line, some type of line about like a new paint scent. He said something. I can't recall exactly what it was, but I was like, oh nah, this my man Penn is still nice. You know, when that's what made between the that track sounding crazy, but the fact that the pens are still sharp. You know, maybe they hoarding pens like me. Maybe they got 60 pens at least in the studio. The pens are still sharp. That's the worst, when you go for the pen. You've been hoarding these pens all this time. You go for the pen ain't even got no ink going on. The ink is all, you know, just fucking coagulated, or even worse, just you know what I mean? The ink, this shit is, get that fucking shit out of here. But anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm a big De La Soul fan. Been a big De La Soul fan since the beginning, honestly. And I think still my favorite De La album is De La Soul Is Dead. You know, just like the skits and all of that. Like, it was crazy, man. I remember one time I got to do a quick, like a nice little tour run. It was me, Hannibal Buress, and Prince Paul. And we were like, we were just kicking it for like three or four show run. And I kind of, you know, not super fanned out, but I definitely got to ask a few questions, get some insight on, you know, the creation of some of that early shit, man. Because De La Soul Is Dead is, I don't even like doing the rankings and shit like that, because, you know, so much music that goes on, whatever. But for a long, long, long time, it was probably my top five albums of all time. You know what I mean? It's one of my favorite albums. The shit is just, it's mad funny. The loops are crazy. The bars are slick. The topics are, like, varied. It's, you know, like, yeah, it's an amazing album for sure. So I'm excited for that. And overall, man, I have to, you know, really celebrate what Mass Appeal and Nas have been doing this past year. I forget what the campaign is, but, you know, with all of these albums showcasing legends, you know, Slick Rick, Raekwon, Big L, Mobb Deep, Nas is gonna have a joint with Primo, De La Soul, Ghostface. I don't think I'm missing any. I might be missing maybe one or two, but like for the most part, they've all been solid, if not fire, you know. And if you think about it, or if I'm thinking about it, at least three out of those releases are posthumous in some sense, or you have, you know, a figure in the group that is passed, whether Big L, fully posthumous album, you know, Mobb Deep, Prodigy's gone, and then De La, Dave is gone. And to be honest, the three of them, they sound good for that, in that, you know, for that, like, they sound great in execution, because a lot of the times the posthumous albums, they could be hit or miss. You know, they could be putting the rappers on songs with people that are hot in that moment, they have no real connection to. So that's kind of always weird, or it's old lyrics that you, you know, that you've heard in freestyles or whatever. It just sounds disconnected. It sounds like that person is not there. Whereas, like, when I listen to the Prodigy album, like, it feels like he's still around. You know, obviously he's not, but it feels like, you know, just feels like he's still lyrically in step with what's going on at the moment, you know? So, and I think one of the best albums that ever did that, probably set the bar for that, in my opinion, was the Last Tribe album. The way, and I haven't gone back and listened in a while, but like how they handled, you know, Fife being gone, the records where Fife had vocals, again, it just felt like he was still in the room. You know what I mean? You could feel the spirit on the album. It wasn't like, you know, just, yeah, this is, you know, a dead artist vocals or whatever. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That should be a good time. What else? Musically, I listened to some of the drops that came out. I got to go through them still some more and listen to them. But I listened to the, you know, I like Summer Walker. I like Summer Walker. I do. I dig her. I like, you know, a lot of these artists, I grow to appreciate them through their, like, interviews and things like that. I've said this before, but, you know, like, she real introverted, so it seems, you know, like a lot of them. And I know that she's claimed that always, but like very socially awkward and don't really like performing a lot or don't even like doing interviews. So is, you know, she'll still do it. So there's a little bit of that to the presentation. But some of the records is tough. So I was listening to this most recent album. They got that record Go Girl. That record is hard. That record with Lotto and Doja Cat. Doja Cat get busy on that record. She get busy on that record. And then it's the, it flipped a little, the Stetsonic Go Brooklyn. Like, it shit, that shit kind of tough. That shit kind of tough. I like that record. I was fucking with that. I was listening to that on repeat over the weekend. I was like, yeah, that shit hard. I ain't had the windows down or no shit like that. But it was just a tough record. I was fucking with it. What else is going on with the kid? Speaking of decluttering, I have way too many. Like, I've been treating this library like a buffet, like a Shoney's buffet. Shout out to Roy Wood Jr. I've been listening to his book, Man of Many Fathers, and that man used to work at Shoney's. That kind of put that in my mind. I remember going to Shoney's back in the day when I go down to Atlanta, and Shoney's has some good rolls. Now you remember certain things about certain places, you know. R.I.P. Shoney's. I don't think it exists at all, but their rolls were pretty good for sure. That's one thing I remember about a good Shoney's. But you know, Shoney's, you know, certain places with these little buffets or whatever, And I've been treating the New York Public Library like my own personal Shoney's. Like, I'm hoarding books. And I'm going to stop. I'm saying this out loud to hold myself accountable. As these books become overdue, I'm not going to just, you know, renew them. I'm taking them shits back. Because I'm looking at, I got quite a few books. You know what I mean? And it is a little overwhelming, too. You know, it's like, you know how you're, or my grandmother, or even my grandfather, the old heads in my early life be like, your eyes is bigger than your stomach. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing. That's how my knowledge eyes are. I'm trying to read all this shit. Like, yeah, I would have. Yeah, especially it's free. Like, yeah, fuck it, I'll take it. Yeah, let me get that. Let me get that one too. Because I got the best intentions for sure. I want to read all of this shit. But it's slow going. So let me put this back in the world. Somebody else could read it while I'm, you know, while I'm over here reading these other things. I'm still reading the same two books or a couple books I told you about last week. I just picked up the Cameron Crowe book, The Young Cool, adding to the glut of books. But I'm about to send some of these shits back. I've been watching a ton. I was looking at my, I've been trying to record. Like, I got a list of books that I want to read, and I got a list of books that I've read, and then I got a list of movies that I want to watch and a list of movies that I have watched. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think I've watched more movies in 2025 than I have ever watched in my life. For sure. I'm looking at it. I mean, it looks like it. It's about, shit, it might be about 30 movies or something like that. Like, I watched a lot of movies this year. Like, it's kind of crazy. And, yeah, I'm enjoying that. You know, I just watched McCabe and Mrs. Miller with Warren Beatty. I want to say the actress's name is Julie Miles or whatever. It's a Robert Altman movie. You know, I was talking to young Lambert, Chris Lambert, a couple weeks ago about Robert Altman, you know, as he gets referenced a lot when people talk about Paul Thomas Anderson or whatever. You know, I go down these little rabbit holes, whether it's inspired by, you know, a movie I've watched or some Criterion Collection recommendations or whatever, whatever. A lot of people have been talking about how Robert Altman, I've seen like Roger Ebert, not that I always see eye to eye with him, but Roger Ebert talking about, yo, he's the best natural director, whatever that means. He's one of the best direct. Like, they, people herald him. And I think even in that conversation, maybe Chris talked about it on the mic or whatever, but, you know, I think one of his talents is like telling a bunch of stories, having a lot of characters in a movie. And, you know, they pass the ball. These characters are well fleshed out and they got their own little narratives. And somehow he does that without, you know, the expense of the movie overall. So this is the first movie that I have consciously watched on some Robert Altman shit. I got this and I got Nashville. And I'm going to check out a few others. But yeah, McCabe and Miss Miller was cool. It was all right. All right. It wasn't bad. It was a cool movie. It was interesting to see Warren Beatty in a bad wig, you know what I mean, running around. You know, it was a cool movie. It was a cool movie, old school movie. I forget when it came out. It came out way back in the day. But it was fine. That's it. It was fine. I just was talking, something to talk about. Speaking of fine and an update of fine, just fine. Regular, actually. I did that two-ingredient bread. I made the two-ingredient bread. Shit that I was very excited about with the rum raisin ice cream and the flour, you know. And I made that shit. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. First of all, I was excited because the rum raisin of it all, I was like, nigga, rum raisin bread? Come on now. We about to kill him, nigga. I might be piloting a Thanksgiving dish. One, let me just give this caveat. I do not have a loaf pan. I was about to buy a loaf pan. I have it still in my cart on Amazon. Sorry, I'm still fucking with Bezos. But I got it in my cart on Amazon. I was about to pull the trigger. But I don't know if it was impatience or just, you know what, let me see if I need this loaf pan immediately. So I did it in like a little square pan. So basically, instead of it coming out as a loaf, it basically came out as like a big ass biscuit. You know, look, dough is dough. It's different forms, but the dough is the dough, right? So anyway, long story short, it came out dense as fuck. But the flavor wasn't what I expected. I thought it was going to be a little sweet. I thought it was going to have a little bit more than a hint of rum raisin. I don't think I got a hint. It was some dense, it was a decent biscuit, but it wasn't nothing to phone home or even, you know what I mean? Well, shit, I guess I'm telling y'all, you know. But it was nothing to be like, yeah, so. It was what it was. I might try it again if I do get a loaf pan with a different flavor ice cream, maybe, you know, butter pecan or something like that. Or maybe I'll even go crazy. Who knows? But honestly, my expectations are leveled. I don't even gotta listen. Yeah, whatever. I'm not even, it's off the table. Off the table. I may double back, but it's not priority. Put it like that. It's to the side. What else? Oh. I'm trying not to overthink, you know? This is a continuing effort, but this is the latest lap in my marathon of the fight against overthinking. I'm just trying not to overthink, man. I realize more and more, half this shit ain't worth all this just spinning your wheels. Some of the shit that I overthink about, I won't even share with y'all, but some of the shit is like, come on, D. Like, even in the moment, more often than not, I know that I'm overthinking, but I still overthink. Like, I don't want to say there's no comfort in it, but I guess it's a pattern, right? So now when I see that shit, I'm just pulling the trigger. Bah, fuck it. Why am I bugging? Like, this is ridiculous. Fuck it. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the mantra. Just fuck it. It's enough. Get that through, and let's get to the next step. Because that just, that fucking idling shit, tabling things, all of that shit, It don't do no good. It don't do no good, man. Send that email. Send that text. Make that call. You know what I mean? Take that shit out the crib. Like, all of that shit. Like, just, because it does, there's a, the consequence of it, there's a weight to it. There's a weight to shit being moving idle. You know what I mean? Like, with the shit just looming. For me, I could feel it's not even just a spiritual weight. They feel like, yeah, it's like some stress of it all. Sometimes just get through it. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You know? Like, whatever's going to happen is going to fucking happen. You can't control what's going to happen just by pulling back or hedging, and you know, like, so I'm, you know, so I'm really being real conscious and yeah, real conscious of these moments of, okay, now I'm bugging, pull that trigger. Bow! You know what I mean? Just do it. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Commit murder on that idea. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, fuck that. So there that go. What else? TV. I haven't really gotten into White Power still. I know there's at least two episodes out. I started it last night. And listen. The Power Universe, every time I try a different title in the Power, I jump back into a different title under the Power Universe umbrella, there's always that tone shift that, you know, where you gotta reset. Because everything ain't on the same level, you know? And White Power's famously kind of been my least favorite of them all. You know, Force. That's what we call it, White Power, because it's Tommy. You know what I mean? If you've been here for a while. But, yeah, it's kind of my least favorite of all of them. I'm thinking that, you know, it's the third season. I thought it was going to get canceled after the second season. They got canceled, but they did a third season. It was announced that it was canceled, but it was, I guess, canceled after they, you know, got the green light for the third season. So I thought after the second season it was done, which was the first, I want to say it's the first Power vehicle to be canceled. Right. Anyway, and you know, it's adjacent, but BMF got canceled too, and I'm not sure if BMF is coming out with another season or was that the last one. Either way, I wasn't surprised when they got rid of White Power, but then I was surprised when they were like, "Yeah, it's coming right back. We got this the last final season." So I'm figuring, all right, this the last season. Y'all know y'all out the door. Maybe you're gonna throw everything at this shit. This is gonna be the one, you know. And, you know, Joe Secor is a good actor. And they got good actors in the shit. You know, that's the crazy thing. But it's just like, and again, I'm only maybe 20 minutes into the first episode of this new season. But it was like, I forgot. This is kind of more the same. You know what I mean? Like, this is like ridiculous, some of the shit that's going on in there. So I'm going to check it out. If you're watching it, let me know how you feeling about it. Are you sticking with it? Has it gotten any better? Because we all got, you know what? That's what I want y'all to do too. In the comments, tell me the shows that have kind of petered out but you're still holding on because you committed. Y'all done been, you know what I mean? It's like a bad relationship. You in it still because you got some years in or some seasons in, but it ain't what it used to be. But you're still there because it ain't been canceled yet. You can't cancel it in your heart. Let me know what those are. I haven't watched that, but I am building my little TV roster. I'm starting to get my fall/winter shows together. Last week, I feel like I talked about, some show last week. What the fuck was I talking about? I don't know what I was talking about, but this week, I'm going to tell you, I've been fucking with, I think last week I might have talked about, okay, I got a couple things. First of all, since we last spoke, I finished Task. It was good. I enjoyed Task. It was pretty good. I like how they, a couple things about this show. I thought it was a good show overall. I enjoyed the acting. You know, Ruffalo did his thing. I like my homegirl Tussaud Bato. She was good. I recognize her, but I didn't know exactly where. I know she was in The Woman King. I gotta rewatch the Woman King. But I liked her a lot. Like, there's certain people, and I'm gonna say this later on too, but there's certain people when I see them on screen, either I recognize them from somewhere or just how they look on screen, I'm like, I like this character. I like this part. Yeah, I'm fucking with them. Just off the straight how they appear on screen. Tussaud is one of them. As soon as she came on the screen, I was like, yep, I'm in. I'm in on this character. Wherever she going with it, I'm with it. You know what I'm saying? She got like these bright eyes, like these big eyes that's not like, they ain't really suffering no fools. They ain't for the bullshit. They peeping everything. I'm peeping the whole shit, surveillance eyes. You know what I mean? So yeah, I liked her on the show. And then I also liked the fact that Sally Richardson directed and EP'd on this series. She directed a few episodes, or at least a couple episodes, and I knew that Sally Richardson was a director. I heard her talking about it on a podcast a while ago. I forget what other stuff she's directed, but I think that's fly. Literally, like she went, she's still fly, but like she went from like fly girl to like director. You know what I mean? Like, you know, pretty face in the movies to like just straight director's chair behind the scenes. That's fire. That's some fly shit. You know, I've been fucking with Sally Richardson for a minute. She killed it in quite a few things, but one of my favorite joints is Low Down Dirty Shame with Keenan Ivory Wayans, Jada Pinkett, and her, especially when her and Jada Pinkett get into the fight. That shit was fire. Yeah. So salute to Sally Richardson. Like, to see her, because she directed, I want to say it was the sixth, because I think it's only seven episodes of Task. Probably the one of the most action-packed, or the most action-packed, exciting episodes. Like, she did that shit. She directed it. I saw it at the end. I was like, oh, like, she's killing that shit. You know, so that was salute to her. But that's one of my takeaways with Task overall. It's a nice, decent hybrid of action and family drama. You know, like it was well done. Like, it could get a little schmaltzy, but then somebody might get killed. You know, there's still some gunfire, but then there's, you know what I mean? Like some tender moments. And I was thinking, is that like a trend? Because I've been seeing that. I saw that some. Seen on a few things recently, like like Landman had a little bit of that, or has a little bit of that. Even Raising Kanan, which, okay, first off, I meant to say this when we should talk about white power. Raising Kanan is number one in the power universe. That's just my own opinion, even over Power. I know Power kicked the door before all these things, but as far as performance and as far as writing and set design and just full off, like, just, yeah, Raising Kanan. But anyway, Raising Kanan, just this last one, they flirted with a little bit of that. You know, these little moments, you know what I mean, where it gets a little bit more emotional. It's not all just drama and violence, you know? And I'm kind of wondering if that's fairly new, because I didn't see, like, I don't remember too much tenderness in the A-Team, you know? Or even Breaking Bad. When I watched Breaking Bad, like, you know, when Walt is the, you know, engaged with Skyler, it just seemed a little tight. You know what I'm saying? It seemed a little irritated. It wasn't a whole lot. It wasn't a lot of warmth. You know what I'm saying? Even with it, with Walt Jr., he ain't never really, you know, really, like, embraced him like that. And Walt was in, you know, he was in, come on now. You seen him. He was on the, he had the crutches. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needed that. And maybe he was just so stressed out with all of that fucking, all that damn crystal meth he was cooking. But anyway, finished task. It was cool. I enjoyed it. Again, I appreciate the hybrid that they did with the little, you know, with the heart and the heat. You know what I'm saying? What else am I fucking with? I've been watching I Love L.A. on HBO. I Love L.A. That's the, what's that, the Rachel Sennett, what do you call that, project? It's her joint, Rachel Sennett. Another one, when they come up on screen, like, not even I'm locked in, but when she came up on screen, I was like, yo, first of all, I'm fucking with her. But secondly, I know her from somewhere. Where do I know her from? And then I realized she was in Bottoms. And she was also in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. But I fuck with her. I like what she's bringing to the show. Kind of a little reminiscent of, like, I don't even say that because they, you know, yeah, nah, I let people be who they are. But I like the energy that she's bringing to it. I like the cast. I like that. I like the characters, how they got going on. They got the girl, you know, what's it? What is the character? Alani, who's played by True Whitaker, who's Forrest Whitaker's daughter. I just found that out, Forrest Whitaker's daughter. She plays like a, I guess she's a Nepo baby. Well, she's a Nepo baby in real life, and there's a whole Vulture article where she's kind of talking about it and embracing it. I didn't read it because I believe it was behind a paywall, and I'm paying for enough shit right now, but I'll get to it one day through a private browser. But, yeah, Alani, she's like kind of like a, I guess, a Nepo baby. She, you know, her father's like a big network TV or entertainment mogul, and she has a vanity title, head of creative or whatever. She just kind of wanders into one of their big meetings and just throws the shit into disarray. She not ditzy, and I don't even want to say she's entitled. There's a in the middle, not fully ditzy, but definitely not as self-aware, because I guess you don't know what you don't know, so you can't understand maybe the magnitude of your privilege. Look at me, I sound like a privilege apologist, but this is black privilege. But anyway, the magnitude of your privilege, if you've never had to fight for certain shit, if it's just been from the go, you've been offered access. So it's kind of that, because I wouldn't say ditzy, because she still has some brain power. She's not a dummy, you know? Yeah, overall, man, the characters are well, fleshed out. They all got cool arcs and strong, you know, personas or whatever. I like the show. It feels like the moment. It feels like right now, you know? It feels like right now. And I know, like, you know, again, I'm an older guy. But, like, you know, when I was younger and I would watch TV shows, especially way young, like TV shows that were focusing on being young and outside, or just being young, like way back in the day, I always felt like those shows were kind of a step behind. Maybe it was because of the production schedule or whatever, or I felt like they would sand some of the sharp edges off, and it would be this made for TV approximation of what the youth were about. You know what I mean? Or young life. And I think in the last maybe 20 years with various shows, you know, like it started to get a little bit more in step with what was going on outside. It started to look like, oh no, that is still of the moment. It don't feel dated. It don't feel fucking, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like watered down or no shit like that. But that, yeah, that, I'm really enjoying it so far. It's probably with 2-3 episodes so far that I've seen. That shit is good. It's really funny. It's on the roster. It's on the roster. The chair company is still on. There's still some funny shit on funniest shows out there. Big shout out to Party Dad and also the Don of the DMV, Chris Lambert, on his appearance on the chair company. That show is such a goofy, weird, funny show, you know. And Chris popped up on there, and I was kind of like, yo, don't tell me what episode you on, because I like to just be surprised, especially if I know somebody, like, oh, shit, you know, look at this. But I kind of knew it was coming up, and I seen him kind of post the credits. I was like, damn, this must be the episode or whatever, So I already kind of knew what was going to expect. But what I appreciated is, particularly his role, he got to be, like, one of the people in the crux of the dumb shit that Tim Robinson's, like, his sense of humor is so fucking ridiculous. Like, he got to, I don't want to spoil it, but, like, his moment on the show was just like, yeah, this is that dumb shit that I come to this show for. This is fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Like, it was dope. It was dope. It was more than these pretzels are making me thirsty. You know what I mean? Like, it was a funny scene. So that was dope. And what I like about the show is, you know, as silly as it can be, like I said before, it's grounded. It's ridiculous, but it's grounded at the same time. And it's like the characters really commit to the bullshit. Like, they commit to it. So, like, every episode is always like, and I mean, like, all of the characters, everybody's in there, like, they're locked in. And these characters shine. So it's almost like every week there's a different character that kind of I'm struck by. Like, oh, yeah, this week it was Mike, a man that's been playing Mike. You know, if you follow the show, you know Mike, the character, I forget who plays, what's my man's name that plays Mike? We'll get to it. But my man Mike, he's just off the wall ridiculous. Like, he's just ridiculous, but then he's got, like, this edge to him. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying to hold Will down. Really trying to hold him down, like, you know, in this pursuit of ultimately some ridiculous bullshit. But who's playing Mike, man? I just saw. Oh, Joseph Tedusco? I guess that's the character's name, man. Yeah, he was funny as hell on this episode particularly. And then on another note, Lou Diamond Phillips is killing it on that show. And he's playing a character in a tone that I would have never expected Lou Diamond Phillips ever to do. So that shit is really good to see. I'm enjoying that. I'm trying to think, man. Anything else that I want to talk to y'all about? I think that's it. I think that's it, yo. That was it. That was it. We got through it. We talked about some TV. We got a little existential with the, you know what I mean? Me being vulnerable about my cluttering and fighting the overthinking, you know what I'm saying? And got into the TV of it all. And, you know, shit, we had a good conversation. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you listened to this point. And if you did, thank you very much. And shit. As always, tell a friend to tell a friend. And even an enemy to get in the conversation. Come out. Hello. Conversation.